First, we've gotten used to having plenty of new television pretty much all the time. And this hasn't really changed in the last few months, despite the pandemic halting all movie and TV production. Many of the streaming platforms took the pop culture spotlight over the last few months with some of their content, like this one you might recognize.
I really believe in life that you can only be good at one thing.
He's going to get nasty with me.
With saving the cats, it's one thing that I can fix if I can just stay focused on that. So I don't read the newspaper. I don't watch news on television unless there's a cat involved.
That's the voice of Carol Baskin, one of the stars of the Netflix documentary Tiger King, released in March. But as the pandemic continues, the streaming stream could start to dry up. Allison Herman is a staff writer at The Ringer, writing about television and culture. She wrote the piece headlined, "We're Going to Run Out of TV." Allison, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Can you tell us how COVID impacted production of TV shows?
Of course. I mean, like a lot of industries, it's no longer considered safe to gather together in an enclosed space. And unlike a lot of industries, Hollywood can't go remote, or some parts of it can. So you see a lot of late night television shows, or even we've recently seen award shows switch their format, but ultimately preserve their function. But if you're talking about a scripted show that needs an enclosed indoor set with hundreds of crew members and dozens of actors, including background players, that's not really something you can do while you're under a general state of quarantine. And I'm in California, where we sort of tried a reopening that ultimately turned out to be premature, and that was going to be when certain forms of television production would resume after what I think they assumed would only be a few months hiatus. And now we're finding that we don't really have the conditions to go back to making new TV, even as there's a finite supply of quote unquote old, or at least already produced TV.
And I had thought, you know, Los Angeles when I think of TV production, but you write in your piece also some states offer tax exemptions that brings a lot of production, states like Georgia and Louisiana, places dealing with coronavirus troubles of their own. So even going on the road isn't necessarily going to help TV get back up and running.
Right. Because if you think about it, the policy behind these tax incentives is largely favored by Republican governors who consider themselves to be pro-business. That was certainly a really large part of the Georgia tax incentive. But those are the same kinds of state governments that have proven reluctant to impose stringent public health measures like mask orders and insisting that restaurants and other forms of businesses remain closed. So you're ending up with this really awful overlap where the exact parts of the nation that have become these hotbeds of film and TV production are also the parts that it's going to be the hardest to resume activities like film and TV production.
Well, let's start to talk about what viewers are seeing, or I guess not seeing, because of this. What were the types of shows that have been hardest hit, and the types of mediums for sharing these shows that have been hardest hit so far?
Yes. I mean, one of the things I talked about in my original piece about this was it almost feels like coronavirus is just exacerbating pre-existing trends or divides within entertainment. So if you're a company like Netflix and you have really deep pockets and you're used to kind of working a little further ahead, Netflix's Ted Sarandos has already said, we actually expect to be fine in terms of content through the remainder of 2020 and maybe even a little bit into 2021. But conventional broadcast networks, so your NBCs, your CBSs, your whatever, they're both used to kind of producing on a faster turnaround. So you'll shoot something a month or two before it airs as opposed to a full year before it airs. And they just rely more on that type of programming. So you end up with these bizarre spectacles, like NBC's Upfront presentation this year was also packaged as a Zoom reunion of 30 Rock, which, you know, sort of successfully distracted from the fact that we don't really know the futures of these types of shows. I was just reading today about how Grey's Anatomy on ABC, of course, has said we plan to really address coronavirus and the pandemic in the upcoming season, which they are writing because you can write shows remotely. But there's sort of this caveat in the piece of, we're going to address this in the season, but we don't actually know when we're going to make the season. And Grey's Anatomy is precisely the kind of show that I think is going to be really affected by this.
And you wrote, and I had missed this at the time, a couple shows ended their seasons with some, you know, non-animated shows went to some animated episodes.
Yes, the one that I specifically looked to was The Blacklist, which is a procedural, and they did this, what I thought was actually a very inventive workaround, where their what turned out to be the last episode of the season was half animated, but in a way that was stylized to look like a comic book. So it wasn't totally out of the tonal realm of the show, but of course, if you're used to seeing James Spader in the flesh, it's a little jarring.
Allison Herman is with us, staff writer at The Ringer, writing about television and culture. She's talking about how the pandemic is going to slow down, maybe even stop the TV content pipeline in a way that we're going to start noticing more and more over time. All right, Allison, that's broadcast. You said Netflix, Deep Pockets, they apparently had a lot of stuff already in the can waiting to edit and release, but that can't go on forever, can it?
It can't go on forever. And I think at that point, you're going to end up going into the hypothetical realm. But to speculate a little bit, Netflix, in addition to having Deep Pockets, is also a global and international corporation. And so what we're sort of seeing as the pandemic plays out is that certain countries are more prepared to resume going back to normal life, which includes film and TV production, than others. So I wouldn't be surprised to see something like what we've seen happen in sports, where, you know, we've turned to, or American sports viewers have turned to things like German soccer or Korean baseball to kind of fill the gap before American sports leagues figure out their own way to restart. So it's all a form of kicking the can down the road, but that also gives companies more time to come up with workarounds.
Is there a thing where they're digging more and more into their archives and the content they might have just had sitting on a shelf, real or metaphorical, somewhere, and repackaging and putting it back out?
Yeah, I've seen a few calls for shows to or networks to air their unaired pilots, like the first episodes of shows that they ultimately decided not to go forward making into series. HBO is infamous. There are all these unproduced projects that I'm sure people would love to see. I think another thing is also, we're definitely going to run out of new TV, but because there has been so much TV produced and we have all these new outlets, so for example, NBC Universal's Peacock just launched last week, and that has all these old seasons of older shows. There's still a lot of stuff for people to watch and consume. You're just losing that feeling of everyone consuming the same new thing at the same time, which I feel like is a real loss.
Is this going to change the content instead of, hey, our show has scenes in crowded clubs in downtown Atlanta or whatever? Our show now has scenes of two people walking in the woods near no one else.
I've certainly heard about that. Although, again, I think that was kind of done on the assumption of we'll be able to resume some form of film production, just not like the same version where you could just casually have 200 people walking around an outdoor mall or something like that. So I think that's possible. I've also heard that animated shows and demand for them, not the unintentional animation that we were just talking about earlier, but just straightforward animation is easier to convert to remote production. So a lot of networks I've heard are really interested in exploring those concepts. But that has its own drawbacks in that animation actually just takes a longer time, even in normal circumstances. So you could order a bunch of animated shows now, and we might find that we'll already have a vaccine, but we're just going to get a whole raft of new cartoons.
Now, Allison, for people out there who have burned through the stuff they wanted to watch, what would you point them toward in terms of new releases on any platform?
Sure. I think a new show that I'm certainly not alone in enjoying, but I won't hesitate to recommend, is a show called I May Destroy You on HBO. It's written, largely co-directed by and starring a woman named Michaela Cole, who made a sitcom called Chewing Gum that's widely available on Netflix in the United States. Chewing Gum was a little more of a coming of age story about a young woman coming to grips with her own sexuality while growing up in public housing in London. And this is also autobiographical, but it's a show about a young woman in London who's working as a writer who is sexually assaulted The Night Before Writing Deadline, which is based on something that also happened to Cole. And it's a show that is funny and difficult and constantly changing its tone. And it just has that feeling of something really special that's heightened by the fact that this might be the last special communal thing we get for a while, or one of the last.
And then a personal question, Allison. I always wonder about TV writers these days, knowing that there's no way you can ever catch up with a fire hose of new content out there. Do you feel like you actually might be able to now with the slowdown?
I won't lie. It's almost, you know, as concerned as I am for both what I'm going to cover and, of course, the thousands and thousands of jobs that are being impacted by this, there's a small measure of relief of being able to say, you know, like, maybe I can go back and check out these things that I missed. So, for example, a show I talked about in my piece that was cut off prematurely is The Good Fight on CBS All Access, which I love. But the creators of that also produced a show called Evil on CBS, which is a sort of supernatural procedural, like The Exorcist meets Law and Order. And I went back and got to revisit, or not revisit, visit it for the first time a few weekends ago. And it's a lovely watch that I also highly recommend. So that's been a nice treat for me personally.
Allison, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Allison Herman is a staff writer at The Ringer, writing about television and culture. She wrote the piece, "We're Going to Run Out of TV." We have that linked at WPR.org/Central Time.